This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a man and his mom discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we covered the Olympics. The women and the men are moving ahead at this time. Will Luka stop the men? We have our, we talked a lot about trades today. And I mentioned that I was in a show called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And all the discussion of trades sounds a lot like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 to me.
It's good.
We watched the movie One on One. Is that our rating as well?
Hmm.
And finally, we end with, you may have heard of goat yoga, where people do yoga with goats.
Yeah.
This is Goat Olympics, who's the goat in the Olympics.
Oh, I see. Of course.
Uh-huh.
Good one, Mom. Good one.
Thanks. Thanks.
All right. Episode 32. Let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 32 of Family Court Vision. It is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, August 4th.
Sure is. Back to our regular recording slot after a couple of weird weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's new with you, Mom?
Well, my show that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks happened last weekend.
It sure did, yeah.
So my old people friends and I did a production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. You came to see it. What's your review, Jack?
I did see the show twice in one day. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. You guys did a great job. I think it was a good show for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Was it better or worse than Hoosiers?
I would say it's better than Hoosiers.
Oh, better or worse than Cornbread Earl and Me?
Ooh, similar topics between those two.
Easy to compare.
Yeah, yeah. That's a toss up for me. But,
okay. All right. I won't push you on it.
But yeah, and, yeah. Oh. I really enjoyed it. It was good to see you in a show. It was good to see everybody in a show. I did direct the first OP production.
That's right. You invented OP.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I always love going to those shows and mm-hmm. seeing you guys. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. We visited a couple of potential wedding venues.
Very exciting.
With your sister and her fiance. So, we've been to four so far and all four are like worlds apart from each other.
Okay, good.
Think of the four most different places you could see. That's what we saw.
Getting variety.
That's right.
Any ability to narrow down what a certain member of the wedding like wants at all, or?
Well, by looking at such disparate types of venues, I think we're narrowing down what type of venues work. Not that the ones we saw specifically are it, but like, oh, okay. I think I like this kind of, you know, like some of them are just big banquet halls and some are like intimate, like restaurant-y feeling things. And one of them was like a urban event space kind of a feel. So, you know, we were able to get like, oh, I like this, but I don't like this and things like that. So that's good.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm. And I've also been feeding your cousin's dog for the past 2 days because your cousins and your aunt and uncle are out of state visiting family. And so I am the dog feeder. So I've gone over there morning and night for the past 2 days. I literally just got back into this house less than 10 minutes ago, opened up my laptop and signed right in because I was over there feeding the dog and hanging out with them. He's very sweet.
So it's just you and the dog over there?
Yeah, it was. Maddie came with me this time. I was over there yesterday morning and night, today morning and night. So tonight, Maddie came with me as well because Maddie hadn't met the dog. The dog's name is Giacomo. Hi, mm-hmm. Giacomo, if you're listening.
Yes, big fan of the pod, I've heard. Yeah.
So he's very sweet, but he really doesn't want to come back in the house. So you have to lure him in with some treats. So
I see.
Yeah.
But that's fun. Cool. I didn't know you were doing that.
Yep. How about you?
Just saw the show on the weekend. Also, Maddie and I went to the Mets game on Friday, and the black jerseys are back. Mm-hmm. Black jerseys were something that was very popular in our, both of our childhoods of Mets fandom. So it was very exciting for us.
Like, I can picture you as a small child with black Mets t-shirts on. So maybe that was when there were more black jerseys.
Yeah. I think they said they stopped doing them in 2012. But they were using them throughout the 90s and 2000s. And then they went away for a while. And a lot of people my age were upset about that, because that's, you know, in my mind, that's what the Mets look like, because that's just how I first was introduced to them. Mm-hmm. And they're back now. So we got to see the first game with the black jerseys back.
And you got a black t-shirt.
Got a black t-shirt. So very exciting stuff.
The black ones are not Dad's preference.
Yes, because he is older than I am.
Yes, he is older than you.
And so his Mets fandom is not as closely tied with the black jerseys as mine is. Mm-hmm. So yeah. All right. I guess we'll get into our first segment of the day, which is basketball news of the week.
And we're going to start with college, because there's a big college story this week.
Mm-hmm.
The coach of Syracuse has resigned.
Sure has.
Listeners and fans of basketball might remember that I think 9 members of Syracuse women's basketball team put themselves in the portal to transfer elsewhere when the portal opened this year, which everyone was like, what? And the coach was like, no. I mean, it's totally fine. It's just because it's a weird year with COVID, and it's totally, totally fine. And then people were like, no, he's doesn't have good coaching skills. He does the wrong thing. And he was like, no, it's fine. And now he is resigning, or has resigned.
Yeah, there was a big story. Now I can't remember. Was it Chantel Jeffries who wrote it?
I think so. Like an expose kind of story.
Yeah. Yeah, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And there was a lot of bad details in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually surprised this didn't happen earlier. But but it has happened. So Syracuse women's basketball will be looking for a new coach, or maybe one from in-house. And hopefully that situation gets better than it was reported to be.
Yeah. Moving on to the WNBA, because we had discussed that we talked about the NBA first in our discussions until that season ended. So now we are boosting the W, even though everyone's just at the Olympics. There's not a lot of actual W or M NBA news. Here's the WNBA information. So in the Olympics, the women beat France a couple of days ago, 93-82. And then they beat Australia in the middle of the night, last night. 79-55, and now they're going to move on to play Serbia in the semifinals.
Yes.
And that is on Friday.
Like midnight Thursday night into Friday, probably.
You know, I think so, but I didn't write it down. And then I know that the bronze medal game for the women is Saturday at 3 a.m. and the finals are Saturday at 10:30 p.m.
Okay. So yeah, the USA women's 5x5 team is, rolling as kind of expected. They're not like dominating these games, but they're winning the games. They're clearly the better team in all the games so far.
They have won, like, I'm knocking wood here. They have won 53 consecutive games.
Uh-huh. Like real, I think they lost an exhibition this year, but like real official games.
Right.
And I think I saw somewhere too that this, if they did win the gold this year, it would be 7 straight gold medals.
Yes,
I believe.
Yes, yes. Which ties with the men. They had that record. From 1936 to 1968. there are 2 years there weren't two cycles there weren't Olympics because of World War II within that. But in the Olympics that happened between 1936 to 68, they won 7 consecutive gold medals.
And so
the men. Now the women have a chance to potentially tie that.
Yeah. So, of course, we're rooting for them. Asia Wilson has been great in these games. She's been the star for the first couple, although just the last night game against Australia, Breonna Stewart, I think, led the team in scoring. She was she was huge in that one.
Yeah.
And I also we've been really good defensively. It seems like I saw that we held Australia to 30% field goal shooting. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. You know, obviously we have a lot of offensive firepower, but defense is probably where we're really coming up big. So,
yeah, I watched the Australia game this morning. It wasn't the most exciting game, but, you know, everyone played basketball and got the job done. So, you know, I always like perk up in the last minute because I'm like, oh, this is when somebody's going to score a lot of points and it's going to be stressful. And it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't close at that point. So, but it was a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So something else about the Olympics. So Sandy Brondello is the coach of the Australia Opals in the Olympics. But in real life, she coaches the Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
So today, this game that happened overnight last night, Team USA has Skylar Diggins-Smith, Brittany Griner, and Diana Taurasi, who are all on the Mercury, who are coached by Sandy Brondello. So here's my question for you.
Okay.
Like, she wants to win as the Australia coach, right? Like, she's not going in there to be like, oh, yeah, you know, I really live in the United States, so I'm not going to try hard against them. She wants to win.
Yeah, definitely.
And since she's been coaching these three women, you might think she might say to the Australian Opals, oh, you know, Skylar Diggins-Smith has this weakness, exploit this. Or this person's really good at this. Let's get two different people guarding them on it or whatever. Like, because she knows the inside out of them because she coaches them. So, which is understandable, someone who's competitive and wants to win. But like next week, she's got to go back and be the coach for these three ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So now are these three ladies okay with that? They're like, yeah, you exploited my weaknesses, but hey, we're a team now again. Or are they like, you know what? I'm not doing that. What do you think, Jack?
I'm going to guess that they understand competition and, you know, are happy for their coach that she was coaching a national team. And she's hopefully happy for them that they're on an Olympic team. And, you know, they'll all move on.
No hard feelings.
That would be my guess, but okay. I don't know.
All right. I was just thinking, as I was watching today, I was like, oh my goodness, like, a number of her players are on the team she's playing against. And I guess it could go the other way too, where they're like, oh, when she coaches, she always makes us try for the three. So watch out when people are by the three.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That's what I always, you know, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. Well, I don't have an answer for that. All I have is a guess. So.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah.
And there's going to be the top 25 of all time WNBA players are going to be announced. I think it's on September 5th at a game. And then fans get to vote on who is the GOAT.
Yes.
The greatest of all time.
Yes. Vote for the GOAT.
Vote for the GOAT.
So, yeah. So there are, the league has established a panel of they're going to start with a pool of 75 players, mm-hmm. and then they're establishing a panel of like media members and past coaches. And they said like legends of the league and various people who've been around the league for a long time. And so that panel will come up with their top 25. They're all going to vote. And then that'll be released on September 5th. So it'll be a cool way, because obviously this is the 25th W season. So that's, you know, that's
so those 20, exciting. 25 include current players.
Like I would assume that like Diana Taurasi is going to be on there, you know? So I would assume that like older players who we all know are, you know, the Sue Birds maybe, who we know are going to be Hall of Famers, that kind of thing.
I'm going to predict that the GOAT is going to be one of two people.
Okay.
Either Tamika Catchings or Lisa Leslie.
Okay. We shall see.
Oh, or Weatherspoon.
Teresa Weatherspoon.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those three.
Okay, we'll see.
What do you think?
And we get to vote, too.
We do.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I think Lisa Leslie is a good choice. I know Lauren Jackson is somebody that people bring up a lot. Could be Diana Taurasi. We'll see. Are you going to vote in that?
Heck yeah.
Who are you going to vote for?
I can't tell you. Votes are private.
Okay.
You don't get to know. Do we get to vote like every day or we get one vote? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't think they've established that yet.
All right. But. Well, then it's, you know, my strategy will be different depending on what they're asking us to do.
Yeah. If it's like a ranked choice kind of thing or.
Or if I get to vote like once a day for however many days, then I might spread it out. But if I get one vote, then I'm really going to have to think hard.
Okay.
But heck yeah, I'm going to vote.
Cool. So we'll follow that. That's mm-hmm. It's crazy to think that September is in a month, and that is a month and one day from now. So so that'll be fun. Anything else, W?
Nope. No hidden items this week.
Okay. So let's move over to the NBA. Mm-hmm. We'll start also there with the Olympics. On Tuesday, yesterday
was Tuesday.
USA beat Spain. Yeah, I think that was yesterday.
Yes, yesterday, yes.
Beat Spain 95-81. And they're moving on to the semis now. They'll face Australia maybe tonight. Like late tonight.
Tonight, like overnight maybe, I don't know.
12:30 or something like that.
Yeah, who knows.
And
then the bronze game is on Saturday at 7 a.m. and the finals are on Friday at 10:30. So it's kind of the opposite of the women. The women are doing bronze and then finals, and the men are doing finals and then bronze.
Oh. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're rounding into form a little bit more, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we'll see. KD has been great. Mm-hmm.
He's now the leading career scorer in the Olympics.
Yeah, he sure is. Mm-hmm. He passed Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this little fact.
Okay.
Luka Doncic is undefeated in his FIBA career.
Yeah, I had this as a separate note, actually, not that specifically, but mm-hmm. Yes, Slovenia is is moving on to the semis. They're one of the last four. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to call any team or any country like nobodies, but like Luka is pretty much the only like star, you know, worldwide mm-hmm. name mm-hmm. that people know on that team. And he's just kind of single-handedly bringing them there. So,
but he's 17-0 in his FIBA career.
Yeah. So he's
more than just the Olympics this year.
Uh-huh.
So if he's going to be versing the U.S., who's going to buckle first?
That would be so exciting. Seeing Luka, who's one of the best young players in the league, I thought he might be MVP this past year, mm-hmm. Going up against this, you know, this NBA All-Star mm-hmm. team, essentially. Mm-hmm. That would be great. So we'll see.
So unless you have something else, I just want to address that a bunch of what happens with the NBA this week is about trades and free agency. And I'm just going to say right now, I cannot follow. There's just way too much information. It's like if you picture like a big castle and then just little people standing outside, like shooting bows and arrows at the castle, and they like, boom, hit the castle and then just fall into the moat.
Yeah.
My brain is the castle, and all those little arrows are anything to do with trades and free agency and who's going where. I got nothing. So that it is all on you. The one question I have is, what does it mean when a team declines a player option or the player declines the team option and the player becomes an unrestricted free agent? I don't know what that process means, but I've seen it a few times. Either it's happening or, oh, if this happens, then this will happen. So what does that mean? And also go ahead and talk about whatever trades you want to. I got nothing to add.
Okay. So first of all, I don't know everything. I'm still learning as this all happens. A lot of the money and terms and things that go along with free agency, it's very, very difficult and it's hard to wrap your mind around. I think I am much better this year than I have been in past years, but still I don't know everything. So options on a contract. So you can negotiate this for various reasons, where often you'll have the last year in a player's deal becomes an option. It's either a player option or a team option. And basically the simplified version is, you know, once you get to that offseason right before that year, if you have a player option, the player can decide if they want to opt into that contract, make, you know, the same, basically the same amount of money they made last year and stay with that team and then become a free agent next year. Or they can say, opt out, I want to be a free agent now and, you know, try to make more money and try to get to a different situation. So that's player option. And then team option is the same thing where the team can say, you know, before this year, we want to pick up your team option. So you'll make the same amount of money and stay on the team, or you know, we want to move on from you, or we want to renegotiate a deal with you. So opt out, you know, we'll opt out of this and then come up with a different extension kind of thing. Restricted free agent is, and there's all kind of ways that you can become a restricted free agent if you're like coming off your rookie deal that has something to do with it and depending on the kind of contract you signed. But basically, if your contract is up and you're a restricted free agent, that means that you're free to go out and try to sign with a different team. So let's say I'm on the Spurs and I'm a restricted free agent. And I say, you know what? I want to go home and play for my hometown New York Knicks. So I go to the Knicks and I say, I want to play for you. And they say, we want you to play for us. You know, here's a 4-year contract worth $20 million. Then the Spurs can say, oh, we're just going to match that. We'll pay you exactly the same. And so then
you can't go.
Then you sign that contract with the team. But it's only 1-year deals. It's not long-term deals, but yeah.
But they can't say, we're not going to give you any more money than we were going to, but you can't go. They'd have to like match it or something.
If another team submits what they call an offer sheet, which is just like, this is what we propose as a contract, you either have to match it or you say, we're not going to match that. Go have fun.
Okay.
And then an unrestricted is just, there is not that rule. So your team that you're on doesn't get the right to match it. If you want to go to the Knicks, you can just go to the Knicks.
Okay.
So yeah. All right. I have a bunch of teams listed, a bunch of moves that happened. I just want to run through.
You can say every single thing that's out there.
No, it's impossible. And news feels like every hour there's more news coming out.
And this would be like a 4-hour podcast if you listed every single thing that's happened.
Right. I'm just going to kind of list names.
Okay.
So players who got extensions or like re-signed with their teams that they were already on for big money. Trae Young. Some of these are reported, not official yet, but all of these seem like they're the way they're going. Trae Young with Atlanta, Steph Curry with the Golden State Warriors. He's the first player ever to sign two separate $200 million contracts in his career. Trae Young, Steph Curry, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Oklahoma City, Jared Allen in Cleveland, Jimmy Butler in Miami, Duncan Robinson in Miami. He just signed the biggest contract ever for an undrafted player. Did we talk about that last time? No, because free agency wasn't open last time. John Collins.
Agency just opened Monday.
Yeah, John Collins with Atlanta. Chris Paul re-signed with Phoenix. Campaign is also coming back to Phoenix on a very team
friendly deal. Well, what do you think about Chris Paul re-signing with Phoenix? Just briefly, what do you think about that?
I mean, he's...
I mean, good for him.
Good for... Yeah, make your money. Good for you. If you're happy in Phoenix, great.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, I believe, 36 or 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he signed a 4-year contract where he's getting paid $30 million per year, basically.
Nice.
And so, listen, he was huge. I mean, he basically brought them to the finals this year.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed where, like, it used to be like, once you're past 34, 35, you kind of fall off a cliff. But like, medicine is better now. We know more about nutrition, that sort of thing. So I do think players can play longer than we probably expect them to. But when 4 years from now and Chris Paul is 40 years old and he's taking $30 million out of their salary cap, mm-hmm. I just have a hard time believing that that's going to be a good value on that contract mm-hmm. for Phoenix.
Now, what if like when he's 38, something happens and he can't play anymore? He still gets that $30 million each year?
You mean like if he were to retire?
No. Like what if he like got injured and he just can't play? And he's going to be out for like a year and a half, which takes him just about to the end of the contract.
There are certain, there's something, I believe it's called a disabled player exception that you can like apply to for the league. So if you like have a player that's just going to be out for a year, you can potentially like get some of their money back. But if he's under contract and he like wants to play, but he's just injured, like they got to pay him. So
good for him.
So yeah, good for him. And hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully at 40 years old, it's like Chris Paul is still balling out. But I have my doubts. Campaign also in Phoenix, Norman Powell in Portland, Mike Conley re-signed in Utah, and Talen Horton Tucker re-signed with the Lakers. Okay, the Nets re-signed Blake Griffin, and they signed Patty Mills from San Antonio. I love that Patty Mills signing. I really wanted him on the Lakers. I think he's going to be a big help for them. And they just were part of this Spencer Dinwiddie trade that just went through a couple of hours ago. The Bulls ended up with Lonzo Ball from New Orleans, Alex Caruso from the Los Angeles Lakers, and DeMar DeRozan from the Spurs through various sign-in trades and outright free agent signings. I think the Bulls got a lot better. They pair those three guys with Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. They're, I think, for sure going to be a playoff team next year, which I like for them. The Nuggets signed Jeff Green and Austin Rivers, not big names, but I do think they got better, especially with Jamal Murray, who's going to be out next year. The Warriors signed Otto Porter Jr., again, another target I wanted for the Lakers. And Klay Thompson should be back this year after a full 2 years out. So hopefully that is the case. The Heat got a lot better. They signed and trade for Kyle Lowry. They also got PJ Tucker. They just today signed Victor Oladipo. So they are making a case to be a top three seed in the East. The Bucks re-signed Bobby Portis. They haven't done much else. Pelicans got Devontae Graham from the Hornets. I do not like that move. Pelicans are on a time clock. They need to make Zion happy. And I don't think this move is going to do it. So the Knicks are basically bringing back everybody. Bringing back Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Nerlens Noel, Alec Burks. They're also bringing in Evan Fournier, who was most recently on the Celtics. And
he's in the Olympics right now on maybe the French team.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then Kemba Walker, who was traded at the beginning of the offseason from Boston to Oklahoma City, was bought out by Oklahoma City and looks like he's going to go and sign with the Knicks. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
And you like that?
Yeah, I do. He's getting older. He has been injury prone. I can't tell you the last time he was healthy for a full season. Mm-hmm. But he's still a good player. He still can score at an elite level. He's still, from all accounts, like one of the everybody's like favorite guy. He's like one of the best guys ever. And he's a New York kid. I mean, I can't call him a kid because he's older than I am. But like he's from New York. He went to UConn, which is like in the tri-state area. He had this famous buzzer-beating shot in Madison Square Garden while he was in college. So like he's like just I just feel like the city's really going to embrace him, and I really like this. They needed a point guard, and they got one. So the Sixers got Andre Drummond from the Lakers. Suns signed one of your favorites, JaVale McGee. And then the Wizards are reportedly getting Spencer Dinwiddie through a five-team trade. It's all part of the Russell Westbrook trade now, too. The Spurs, the Pacers, and the Nets are all involved. And then the Lakers. I came on here last time and said that I didn't like the Russell Westbrook fit. I didn't think it would work. I still feel the same way, but I do think that they filled out the rest of the roster about as well as you could have with the fits that they had. So they're re-signing Dwight Howard, who I think is going to be big for them. Dwight Howard drives me absolutely insane, but he does do some things that the Lakers couldn't do last year. They signed Carmelo Anthony, a favorite of our producer, Aaron Fern, also New York native, Syracuse alum. Malik Monk was a huge signing for me. They got him for the minimum. I thought he was going to get way more than that, and I didn't even think that was a possibility. I think he could start for them. Wayne Ellington, great three-point shooter. Trevor Ariza, great defensive wing, can also knock down some threes. Kent Bazemore from the Warriors, and Kendrick Nunn as well. So that's the offseason. There's still possible more movement. A lot of the big names have come off the board. There's still what's going to happen with Reggie Jackson, what's going to happen with Dennis Schroeder. But yeah, this league, man, it's crazy.
It's just nonstop.
It's nonstop.
It's like juggling.
So we'll see. I think overall, I do think the Lakers got better from where they were last year. I do think the Nets got better from where they were last year. The Heat got much better from where they were last year. The Warriors got better from where they were last year. So it's going to be fun. I think we're going to have a fun season next year with a lot of names in different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other NBA thing, I don't really know what this means, but Kiki Vandeweghe is now a special advisor.
Yeah, I saw this today. He
He was in charge of basketball operations or something, and now he's going to be some kind of special advisor.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact titles, but this is some sort of promotion that he's getting. He was sort of in charge of like handing out fines and like suspensions and stuff.
Yeah.
For players.
Yeah.
So that was his role, and now he's moving up into some sort of special advisor role. So, yeah. And then you also noted on here Kawhi Leonard. I feel like we talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
So he opted out of his player option. He had a player option for this coming year. He opted out.
Okay.
Everybody is expecting him to then re-sign a huge contract with the Clippers, a big, long, four-year, $200 million something. But it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know. Every other team is kind of out of cap space because they signed all their free agents. So it kind of has to go that way, but it hasn't happened yet, so I don't know.
All right. Maybe he's on vacation.
Probably, yeah.
And he's like, we'll talk about it when I get back. I am in the sun right now, and I'm not talking about work.
Yeah.
His family took away his cell phone. He can't even contact them.
Yes. Right? That's right,
I'm good at backstories.
You are good at backstories. But yeah, if you were about to sign a $200 million contract, why not take a long vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any other news for you?
Nope, I have no secret news this week.
Okay. Then let's move on to our second segment of the day, which is our movie review of One on One.
One on One. There was a TV show called One on One. That's not what we watched. We watched, or at least I hope that's not what you watched. We watched a movie called One on One, starring Robbie Benson.
Yes.
This was a 1977 movie. Robbie Benson went on to voice the Beast in the Beauty and the Beast movie. So some people might know him as that, which I'm guessing now that you've seen him in a movie and heard his voice in the movie, it's probably kind of hard for you to imagine him with that Beast voice.
It is. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And watching this movie, I don't know what I saw with him in it when I was younger, but this was Robbie Benson's voice. It's not like this was a voice he picked for this movie. Like, this was Robbie Benson's voice. So we got Robbie Benson, which I didn't even realize he was a writer of this movie. Did you know that?
He was
21 years old. He wrote this with his dad.
I did not know that.
He wrote this movie with his dad.
Wow. And people were like, was he a name before this?
I think that he had just been in. Did I ever have you listen to the song I think it's Bobby Joe McAllister threw something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. You know how sometimes I dig into my nostalgic memory and I make you guys listen to weird songs from when I was a kid?
Yeah. What's that? HR Puffin stuff?
Oh, he's your friend when things get rough.
Oh, God.
Want me to sing it?
The creepiest show I've ever seen, but okay.
So there was a song, it's kind of a country-ish song, but like a radio song from a long time ago about some, it's a mystery. I'm not even going to give you any information about the song, but there's a mystery within this song that someone went up this to this bridge at night and, you know, threw something off. So they made a movie about it. And Robbie Benson starred as Bobby or Billy Joe McAllister. I can't remember which it was. So he was in that. I don't know if that was before this or like while he was writing it or what. So like he was kind of an up and comer.
Okay. I'm just interested that
you
know, they would give him sort of reign over this.
Yeah. And interestingly, I didn't look at his whole world of movies, but he also was in a movie about ice skating. I think he was in another sports movie, a different sport. I can't remember what, but, you know, exploring all the athletics.
Cool. All right. So what did you think about this movie?
You go ahead first.
Well, it was a basketball movie. This, you know, high schooler gets recruited to this college and he struggles academically, and it's just kind of following his first year on the team, and you know, he doesn't play the right way and has a lot of conflict with his coach, and of course there's a girl, and that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what the point of this movie was.
Yeah.
Like I guess the lesson is like perseverance, don't let somebody tell you what you can't do or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of a movie. His coaches were kind of assholes, and it's basketball.
Yeah. There, it didn't seem like there was an overriding theme. This is the theme that I want to put across by putting out a movie. It was more like, hey, let's write a movie about basketball.
Yeah.
It was in the 70s. And I often comment on that I love the music from the 70s. This was a very, 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 very white 1970s basketball movie.
Yeah.
And so instead of really fun, amazing music, as is often played in more urban settings that basketball is played, like street ball and stuff like that, this one, the people who sang were Seals and Crofts, which were like big names, but big names for, there's a song called Summer Wind that, you know, these are just like the songs in the background that just are pleasing and easy listening.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty poorly written, mm-hmm. and also pretty poorly acted. However, I think that for its time, it was probably a pretty decent movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, this is a good movie. Like, sure, yeah. Like, movies now are way better than this one was. But I think for its time, like, yeah, it was a good movie. It was fine.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of kind of pre-music video montages where a song was playing and an action was happening just to move the movie along or something without any dialogue or anything, where we're just watching these montages to move it along. I'm not a fan of those in general.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are, unless used skillfully, they're kind of lazy. So, but you know, it wasn't awful. You know, there were drugs. There was an older secretary trying to seduce him.
Mm-hmm.
There was his naivete. Some bullying that went on. Although you say his coaches were kind of assholes. So his coach was kind of an asshole. However, he also was not making the best choices.
I was going to say, you know, to kind of play devil's advocate or make the case for the coach. Now, I don't think so, you know, what's his name?
Henry Steele. Yeah. I don't think the coaches responded appropriately to what they were trying to do. I don't think their actions were right, but I don't think they were wrong in deciding they had to take some actions.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he just refused to like play real team basketball, which is, and it's not like, I forget which movie it was. It might have been that other 70s basketball movie, but it was like kind of racist of being like, you don't play team basketball. All you,
right, that's right.
But this was like, he was literally like shooting from anywhere and throwing behind the back passes and causing bad turnovers. And like, I didn't think it was that crazy for his coach to be like, hey, you know, try to play the game the right way, pass to the open man, that kind of thing.
And he wasn't playing well.
And then, I mean,
then he took like meth or something,
right,
during a game.
Yeah, which was like sort of not his fault, but then he was like all drugged up at a practice, like running around and like tackling people, and
he's like, woohoo!
Like being, yeah, just completely inappropriate. So like, to say like, hey, like maybe you're not on this team anymore, I don't think that's that crazy.
Right. But the coach decided to break him.
Yeah.
So, you know, not the best methods, but, you know, I don't think the coach was wrong in wanting to address what he was seeing.
Yes.
So.
This movie, it wasn't terribly long. It was about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But I do think it could have been cut down to about an hour if we had, if we just cut out all the time of just Henry just staring blankly at his scene partner. There was so much of like, they would say something to him, and then just to, I don't know, kind of show that he's a slow, dumb jock, he would just kind of stare at them for a few seconds and then process what they said and then answer.
Yeah.
So I think it could have been a lot shorter if we just didn't have to look at him staring for probably 30 minutes of the movie.
Did you know that the director of this movie was also in the movie?
He was like the alumni guy, right?
Yeah, the one who gave him, who Henry gave tickets to, and the guy gave him $600.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that they might have thought they were doing an exposé in the style of Blue Chips. Like, not an exact replica. Those aren't exactly the same movie, but I think that it was an exposé of, you know, like, he bribed a policeman with tickets, and he got a fake job so he could make money, and, you know, he had a tutor for free to help him out, and, you know, things like that.
Uh-huh.
I also was thinking, like, he was there on scholarship, and his tutor, who then becomes his love interest, was like, you know, this playing basket, she was, you know, she was the intellectual foil to his athletic person. So she was, first of all, not into the athletics at all. And then when he was being kind of hazed by his coach and actually punched in the face,
uh-huh,
you know, during a practice, she was like, you need to quit this. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay with it. Like, I don't know why he wasn't like, no, I don't have any money. So if I don't do this, I can't come to this college and I'll never see you again.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that seems like that would be more effective for your like love interest. It'd probably work better than.
Right.
Yeah. My other question for you is, and this is just going to be a dumb, you know, 1990s kid asking this, but what, like, how did you know where to go? Like, when you're driving from Colorado to Los Angeles, I know there are maps, but like, when you're by yourself, like, I just think about me driving up to my school.
Mm-hmm. There, like, are maps. So you would get a big, huge book of map, of the map.
And then do you have it out while you're driving?
Yeah. You look at it and you're like, all right, I'm going to go on I-95 until I get to Route 77 or whatever. And you just do that.
I feel like you had to do a lot more paying attention while driving. Like, I feel like if I'm on a long car trip and I'm driving, like, I just drive until my thing goes at the next right turn, you know, and then I'm like, oh, okay, guess I'll do something then. So. Yeah.
No, you had to, and sometimes you'd like get your map and you'd like mark it, you know, with a marker or something so you could plot. I'm sure we've told you this story before. So Dad and I, we're driving, we live here in New York, but I grew up in Pittsburgh, and we were driving back to Pittsburgh to visit my mom when she lived in Pittsburgh. And we knew, we had already looked up, like, I think we could use Google Maps at home, you know, on our computer.
Yeah.
And we could write down, okay, take I-80 west to 278 south to the, like, so we'd like write it out on a piece of paper and take that with us.
Uh-huh.
At some point, I'm going to guess I was driving because I'm probably the lesser of the payer attention in this family. So I'm going to guess I was driving. But at one point we were driving and we were supposed to be driving across Pennsylvania. So you get from, you go New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, you just drive and your
destination from one end to the
Pennsylvania.
Other.
Right. Yeah. At one point we look up and there's a sign on the road that says state line. And our big question was, what state? Like, obviously we missed a turn, but we don't even know what state that we're crossing into. So as soon as we got into whatever state that was, and it was like Maryland or Virginia or something like that, we went farther south than we should have. We had to go to a gas station and we had to buy a map book and get out the map book and figure out how to get back to where we were supposed to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think about like when I was younger and we would go on trips, like, Dad would go on, like, I think it's MapQuest, I think is what it's called, and print out the instructions. I remember
ages
that.
And ages.
Yeah. But thinking back to before even Google, it's just, it's too much for me.
One other thing about this movie was, so he's driving from, I think, Colorado to LA. I think that's where he went. So he's clearly now in LA because it's a very urban setting. And he picks up a hitchhiker who is the young Melanie Griffith. I don't know if you knew that or know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
She's very famous. She was married to Antonio Banderas. And what's his name from Miami Vice? Don Johnson.
Okay.
Their daughter Dakota is a big star now.
I know who Dakota Johnson is. Okay.
Yeah. So this is her mom. So he picks up this hitchhiker who then threatens to cry rape unless he gives her all his money or whatever. So this is a twist, so he doesn't have any money. But the reason he stops in the first place is because his car is overheating or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's a new car because he was given the car in exchange for going to this college. This was one of his bribes to get him to go to this college. So it's a new car. He's driven a long trip and there's steam pouring out of it. So he goes to a phone booth and he rips out a page for where the local dealer is that he can go get his car fixed. And he says to her, we'll see if my car, she says, can you give me a drive to wherever? And he's like, sure. If my car works, I think it's fine. I think I just put water where the oil should be.
Uh-huh.
Which is a big problem. But like, when did he do that? When he left Colorado? Cause I don't think he would have made it to LA with an oil tank full of water. So I just, you know, some things are written into movies to be like an obstacle or a plot twist. And you're like, that makes zero sense in the real world. And that was one of them.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
there we go.
Okay. Did you have like a favorite or least favorite in this movie? I didn't write one down.
No.
So
no, I don't have anything.
Okay. What about a rating?
It's tough because, like, if I rated it really, if I thought about this in relation to all the other movies, it would probably be like a one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I think of it in relation to the time it came out and, you know, it's not a big important movie or anything, I'd probably give it like a 4.75 or a 5.
So what are you landing on?
I'm going to say 4.75.
Okay. And I put it at like a 2.5.
Yeah.
So
this is tough math. So we got a 0.75.
Yeah, you figure that out.
A 4.75 and a 2.5 is a 7.25.
Divided by 2.
So it's at like a 3.42.
Perfect. 3.42. That fits in very nicely. Okay.
It's funny. We haven't rated anything together that comes out to a 4 or anywhere in the 4s. We've got 1s, 2s, 3s, 5s, 6s, 7s, and 8s.
Well, we're just looking for that 4. It's out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be next week
we might find it next week with High School Musical.
this is a big week for Aaron. He loves Carmelo Anthony. He loves High School Musical. So big week for Aaron.
Big week.
All right. So
who doesn't love High School Musical?
You're right.
Is there someone who doesn't love High School Musical?
You're right, Mom. So of course, one of the most famous basketball movies of all time. And we will, yeah, we'll watch that. So check that out between now and then. And let's move into our last segment of the day, which is our best USA basketball players in the Olympics draft.
Woo! Catchy.
Yeah. All right. So it is what the title says it is. It is, we are drafting the best basketball players in US Olympic history. We're each going to create our starting fives of players. Obviously, we can pick from men's or women's USA basketball. Do you have, like, are you ready to put them into positions, or you're just picking five?
Oh, they're in positions.
Okay, cool. Me too. So this will be fun because, you know, obviously once you pick somebody, I can't pick them. And that's I'm sure we each have our reasons for doing so. Mm-hmm. So would you like first or second and third pick?
Second and third.
Okay. I will go first then. That's good. We'll have somebody else go. So I'll go first, and I am going to pick with my number one overall pick, best Olympic U.S. player ever.
Wait. Are we picking by position? Like, if you pick a center right now, am I picking a center, or I'm just... Okay, it's whatever position.
You fill out your team however you want to.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry.
My pick is going to be Lisa Leslie. I think I'm going to put her at my four, my power forward, but I'll have to see how the rest of my team shakes out. So Lisa Leslie has played more Olympic games than anyone, men's or women's. She has more points scored in Olympic basketball than anyone, men's or women's. She has more rebounds than anyone else, men's or women's, in Olympic play. She also, I couldn't quite find if this was both men's and women's, but at least in the women's game, she has the most blocks in Olympics and the fifth most steals among U.S. Olympic players. She has four gold medals, which is right now tied for the most amount of gold medals for any basketball player. And she has the second most overall medals, tied for second in that. So I think that's a pretty good Olympic resume.
It is, and she was also on my list.
Okay, and as we talked about her potential GOAT of the entire WNBA, so I am very happy to select Lisa Leslie with my first pick.
A very good choice. I just want everybody to know that my reasons are not quite as extensive as yours. They're like, wow, this one has the most medals in an Olympics.
Okay.
Like that.
Cool.
Kinda. All right, so my first pick is going to be Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
In the PF position.
Okay.
I could have picked him as a different position, but he's, other than Kevin Durant just now getting more points than him, he had the most points scored in an Olympic.
Uh-huh.
He also, I think, has the most medals, or at least is tied. He's got golds in 8, 12, and 16, and a bronze in 04.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got four medals, and so he is good.
He is good, yeah. You got all that right. He's played the most men's Olympic games as well. He also has the most men's rebounds and free throws made. And yeah, he has the most men's medals overall and the most men's gold medals. He stands both of those alone atop of that list. Three gold medals and one bronze. Kevin Durant could potentially get his third gold medal this year. But yeah, I think that's a great pick. So that's your second pick. And then you get a third pick as well. I mean, that's your first pick, but it is the second overall pick. And you get the next pick as well.
So next I'm picking David Robinson.
Okay.
David Robinson is going to be my center. He's got two golds and one bronze. David Robinson was in the Navy. He went to the Naval Academy and then had to actually do his 2 years after the Naval Academy. So he was drafted for the NBA, but his team had to wait 2 years to get him because he had to do his service with the Navy.
Oh.
And he was known, one of his nicknames was the Admiral, although that's not a rank that he actually attained in the Navy, but his nickname was the Admiral. But he's considered to be one of the greatest college and pro centers of all time. He's been MVP, 10-time All-Star. He played with the Spurs. So David Robinson is my pick.
That's a great pick. Yeah. He was just outside my list. He was the last cut I made. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't have any more information on him, but that's a great pick. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to go with my next pick is going to be Teresa Edwards.
Oh, okay.
As my probably my point guard. Mm-hmm. She is tied with Lisa Leslie for the most overall games played. She has the fourth most women's points. She has the most assists by a pretty large margin. And the most steals as well. She has played in 5 Olympic games, which Sue Bird and Diana Trust are tying her for Olympic appearances this year. And she won 4 gold medals and a bronze medal. So she has the most overall medals as well.
She's also in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
That makes sense to me. So I'm going Teresa Edwards.
All right.
All right. And then next up for me is going to be Diane Taurasi, shooting guard. She again is the stats I saw with that were that she's tied for the most games. I'm guessing she has now surpassed that, so she probably has the most games now. Because I think I was looking at stats before 2020. She has the second most points. She's third most in assists, 6th in rebounds. She has also played in 5 Olympics, now tying a record. And she has 4 golds. And she, along with Sue Bird, could become the first basketball player ever with 5 Olympic gold medals.
Knock wood.
So I'm going DT at my 2.
All right. I also had her. So, I mean, it's okay. It's fine.
I know. But... and I know she's one of your faves, too. So.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go for point guard. I'm going to go with Sue Bird.
Great pick.
Because I even like Sue Bird more than Diana Taurasi.
Oh, okay.
I've been defending her online this week.
Great, good job.
People are like, oh, she's old. Why is she still there? Which is what people just keep saying. Like, that's boring. You've been saying this for like weeks now. That's boring. But she is someone who her teammates pass to her. She gets the ball down the court. You know, she's got great court vision. She's fantastic. She also has 4 golds. In the WNBA, she's the all-time leader in assists and games played.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's good. And she's also, you know, Long Island.
That's right.
So I'm going to pick her for point guard.
Yes. She also has the second most Olympic assists for the women as well.
Oh. All right. Let's see what else I have to pick. I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick for my power. Oh no, I picked that one already. I'm going to pick for my small forward, Tamika Catchings.
Great pick. Yeah.
She's got 4 golds. She was just inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, just this year, yeah.
Yeah, so we learned a lot about her at that, and she's really, you know, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. I wrote down she's tied for 1st in games, although probably now tied for 2nd, 9th in points, 3rd in rebounds, 10th in assists, 5th in blocks, 2nd in steals. So she wasn't like the best at any one category, but she was great at a bunch of categories, and she also yeah, like you said, she has 4 golds, so she played in 4 separate Olympics, which is great. Okay, I get my last 2 picks now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, let's see. Where do I want to go here? I'm going to go with Katrina McLean. I'm going to pick as my small forward.
I don't even know that name. Tell me more.
Katrina McLean. She played, she was one of the first, I think, women's U.S. basketball players. She played in the 80s and 90s. And she is fifth overall in women's points, second in rebounds, fourth in blocks, third in steals in Olympics. And she has three overall medals. She has two golds and a bronze. She didn't put up like the greatest medal count, but I was looking at like my last couple, and like David Robinson has two golds and a bronze. LeBron James has two golds and a bronze, mm-hmm. and she put up great numbers while doing that. So, mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna go with her. And then as my small ball five, my small ball center, I'm gonna go with Kevin Durant. My five. As we just said, he is now the all-time men's Olympic leader in points. Once this Olympics finishes up, he'll be second in games. He'll be third in rebounds. He's first in field goals made and three-pointers made and free throws made. And he's seventh in assists. He has two gold medals and a possible third on the way, or, you know, or a lesser medal. Knockwood, yes. So he is.
So you're putting Lisa Leslie in as your power forward?
Yes. So Lisa is my power forward. KD is my center.
Okay.
So yeah, that'll round out my team. You got one last pick.
One more pick, and it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked, and I hope this is the right position for this person. For shooting guard, I picked Kobe.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. He's got two golds. And you know, I know that when someone passes away, their legacy and memory become larger than life. He was already kind of larger than life, but you know, there's been a lot of talk about him in the past year, but you know, he is good. So
he was good. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Was there anybody on your, like on your list that didn't get picked by either one of us?
Yes. Well, I wrote LeBron down, but I wasn't going to take him because I figured you were going to take him.
I did, like, if you took all my picks, LeBron was going to be my last pick. Okay. But you didn't. So
yeah. I also have Sylvia Fowles.
Sylvia Fowles, yeah, great Olympic resume.
And Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley was also on the 92 team, the scoring leader. So like that was a powerhouse team, and he was the scoring leader of that team. So I also have him on there. I think that might have been, oh no, he has two golds, 92 and 96, but I figure you're on an amazing team and you're the scoring leader of that team. You know, that's pretty good.
That's a good point. LeBron was my one, and then Cheryl Swoops was also on my list. Mm-hmm. But everybody else got picked.
I had Kevin Durant, Diana Taurasi.
So you went with your team, correct me if I'm wrong, is Sue Bird at the point guard, Kobe at the shooting guard, Tamika Catchings at the three, Carmelo at the four, and David Robinson at the five.
Yes.
And then my team is Teresa Edwards at the one, Diana Taurasi at the two, Katrina McLean at the three, Lisa Leslie at the four, and KD at the five.
Mm-hmm. You know what we should do? You know what I'm going to do for the next one? I'm going to look up these players, how many Olympics they were in, how many points the USA scored overall from semifinals to finals in each of these Olympics, and see which of our teams beats the other team.
Okay.
And it's just going to be based on points scored, like I said, from semifinals to the final game.
Okay.
In whatever Olympics these people were in, I'm going to add it up and I'm going to see who won. And we'll tell you next time.
Okay. I don't know what the answer is, but I think I like my chances in that.
All right.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. And that's it for episode 32. Send in questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @FamCourtVision, and don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision,
the mother of all basketball podcasts.